Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Lifehouse Church podcast. This message is delivered by Pastor Fritz Steinhobel. We hope you enjoy the message. For any more information, news about what's going off, please visit our website at www.lifehousechurch.co.uk. Thanks again.
Church, I would be highly surprised. Even if it is your first day in church today, I guarantee he's probably already spoken to you. Why don't you give a huge round of welcome, round of applause and a welcome to Fritz Steinhobel. Give him a big round of applause. Come on, come on.
Thank you. Grab your seats. I have actually spoken. Welcome, Emma and Paul. Good to see you. Your first time here. I won't reveal where you're from, GDPR and all that. We're taking good care of your data. And it's a real joy for me to be sharing with you this morning. I think George has let me off the hook because I'd actually planned to wrap the entire sermon. And now that that's already been done, I just don't need to. So I think we'll, try it. Very good. They'll talk me into all sorts. No, it's good. As Pastor Paul said, I'm on staff here one day a week, and 4 days a week I teach maths in a local secondary school. I absolutely love that. The balance of it, anyway. I don't do it full-time, clearly, but I think that's the key to it. Don't do teaching full-time unless you have a triple portion of grace in your life. I like the balance of what I'm doing, but I think you'd like to be a fly on the wall on some of my maths lessons. We do learn stuff as well. My students typically do get that stuff called grades and all that, that apparently is really important and the most important thing to some people. Really strange that. But I've got a year 8 foundation, like bottom set, and the only reason they labelled as bottom set is because they just struggle with their confidence. So if I want to get them revved up on a Monday period 1, I would give them, I don't know why this works, but I would give them a little mini whiteboard with a pen, and suddenly they grow in their risk-taking ability, their courage. They don't like making mistakes in their book, but when they've got a mini whiteboard, they can just wipe it off if it's wrong. And they just go for it. And I would try and unpack a complex bit of a method or concept. And I would start simple and build it. They don't even notice I'm building in complexity. And they're just literally heads down, whiteboard up, heads down, whiteboard up. And the entire class, no hiding, because I can't move on until I've seen everyone's whiteboard. And the pace is in the lesson. And it's humming. Confidence is rising. I've got everyone on the learning journey. And they like dogs, horses in the traps. Just someone needs to let them go and let them have it. They waiting for me to press the button and go, drop the whiteboards in your books, off you go. And I press the button. And there's one hand that goes up. Sir, I've not got a pen. Literally. My language, my body language, everything shrivels inside. I feel like someone has just sniped me. I feel like this person has switched on a Hoover in this room where the energy and confidence is rising and sucked everything out of the room. But of course, I have to engage professionally. And it's all a teaching opportunity. So I engage with, and it's always a lad, it's never been a girl. And I have to say to said lad, I just saw you were flying on your whiteboard. You were ready to nail this stuff. You were ready to gobble it all up. But because you lack the essentials, you found yourself stuck. I love this series that we're doing at the minute called The Essentials. How true is that in our lives that sometimes we find ourselves stuck and we have to go back to the white, the drawing board and find out what is essential. And I absolutely love that. And Pastor Paul knocked it out of the park. He gave some hints last week. He said, he put some crumbs out and said, mention words like marriage, relationships, family, work, money. But we can't talk about any of these things unless we understand the umbrella over all of it is really about honoring God as first. And Pastor Paul started like that. I think it was outstanding to start like that. Because how can we even talk about any of these things if we don't understand what it is to honor God? And so I want to unpack this a little bit further. And I want us to be inspired, be invigorated, be challenged by how on earth can we even honor God? How are we going to do that? How are we going to put him first? Because it's a challenge. Sometimes you ask people and they'll say, God is the most important person in my life. And then my family, well, my wife, then my family, then my work. And it's a good ranking system, it sounds like to me. But actually, God is over all of it. And actually, God, the truth of God is like an umbrella over here. And our job and what we find difficult is to drag the things in our lives in alignment under the covering of God. Not necessarily that I see it as a ranking system, more like a lordship issue. Will I continue to leave some things out here in the field that I control, or will I physically drag them out and put them under the lordship of Jesus Christ? And that's what I think we're going to do today. So I think we should pray, and then we'll launch into a verse. Yeah, God, we love you, and we thank you that you're alive. We thank you that your word is alive. Holy Spirit, I pray that just as you move the hands of the people who wrote that stuff, that you would tutor us this morning. Would you wake something up in us this morning? Would you encourage us this morning? Would you prod and provoke where that's needed? We put ourselves under your lordship, at least for the next 30 minutes. We welcome you, God. Amen. Hey, so the verse I wanted, I'm sharing a verse here. You can see it on there. Proverbs 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. And actually, verse 10 goes on to say, and your barns will be full and your vats will be bursting with new wine. I just want us to anchor in, really, on verse 9. That's American spelling as well. Honor. Anyone who spotted that? Honor. How do we honor God? The answer is just in there. Don't let wealth be a red herring. I know that. I could have picked one out of 23 different verses to talk about first fruits. That's actually what we're focusing on today. I've picked that one because it's the shortest. And I think it speaks very clearly about how we should do it as well. How do you honor God? I could sum the sermon up in one word, actually, and then we could try and implement it for the next 27 minutes. How do you honor God? First. You put him first. You prioritize him. But we'll unpack what it looks like to honor him with your first fruits. How do you put God first? It's a tough discussion. How do you put him first in your work? What does that look like? I will just pull this out there. We commit our life to God. We commit our days, our weeks, different areas of our life to God. But I also, and you'll know the Bible well enough to know, if we are just praying about it, actually, no, let me rephrase that. If we're only praying about it, there's a problem. Because faith without works, we do the faith bit because we surrender to God because it's slightly more private, isn't it? It's easier, I think, doing the faith bit. But to put some action into it so people can actually see, whoa, this person is not selfish. they are selfless. This person clearly don't honor themselves as much as others around me do. They must honor something or someone completely different. They put in God first. In your workplace, what does that look like? The way you relate to your colleagues or your bosses? How did Jesus find that beautiful quality? I have no idea. He was an absolute genius, but he was a perfect integrator. He integrated teams and people. He wasn't a disunifier, a disintegrator. He found things people could unite around, and he gathered them. Wow, how amazing would our workplaces be if there were a slight bit of unity and agreement? What's it look like? How many of you are doing exams in the summer? Give us a holler back. How many of you are doing big exams this summer? Three of you. Okay, I'll skip that point. Not important enough. I'm not preaching to three. Can you please be encouraged? Exams. I've got to be in my bonnet about what this makes people feel like. Whether you're a GCSE or A-level, I see it every day. I see the fear in their eyes, and it's not even the summer yet. I see the insecurity. I see the anxiety. All of a sudden now they can't line up for their name to be called out. They have to go in a separate room because the nerves and the anxiety is rising up because of an exam. Who's doing that? Who's responsible for that? What are you going to do first? How are you going to honor God in your exams? My mum taught me something very religious to do. In South Africa, you do exams from age 11. My mum says, don't you dare lift a finger or a pen unless you've prayed. And it was a boring, dead, religious thing I did because mum said so. Until I gave my life to God and it became exciting faith. Sat in a sports hall at Tupton Hall. And while everyone is flicking the pages when they say go and you hear everything rattle on the exam desks, I'm sat there, even though there's never enough time to finish an exam, right? I'm sat there with my thumbs on the corner of the page, praying words to the effect of this. God, I'm not asking you for a miracle. You know I've done my preparation. I'm not asking you to save my bacon. May you bring understanding and clarity and the ability to recall and the fluency to communicate on this today in these conditions. In your precious name, let's have it. And I'd be on. Listen, that took less than 2 minutes, but my heart would be still. And I would be fluent. And by the way, this has worked for every single exam I've ever sat. Never been intimidated by a single exam. So please, for you guys who sit in this stuff, don't let it intimidate you. What are you going to do first? How are you going to prioritize God? In your preparation, when that flares up inside, change the channel. You don't need that channel. Change the playlist on Spotify, pray and praise until the atmosphere has changed, and then crack back on. But don't let that dictate your stuff. How do you put God first in any test anyway? What about our family? It's a real challenge, isn't it? Spend most of your teens and 20s hoping God would send you a husband or a wife, and then the way we treat them at times can be real questionable. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm in the same boat, by the way. I don't treat my wife amazing every single hour of every day. I'm in the same boat. I'm preaching to myself. I'm learning what it is to prioritize God. Am I going to spend time with my family? Am I going to set the example? All my hoping and praying for best. As a husband, and you're going to, I'll tag the ladies out of this because I've never been a wife. No comment. Is it a case, boyfriend, engaged, husband, is it a case now that you've got the bait, now that you've got the fish, no need for bait anymore? That'd be a shame, wouldn't it? Are we still dating our wife? Are we still investing in it? Not do we say we do. Do they feel like we're investing in them, guys? the language we use. How are we honoring God? How are we putting Him first? Am I treating Em like she is God's precious daughter? I'm building her up with my language and my actions to the point where she flourishes and flowers in and out of season. I think she does that. God's gracious. It's not down to me. But I certainly try and tap into what God's doing in her life. What about our friendships? That's real tough. I find this a hard one. Anyway, I don't want to be too honest. The sort of stuff people put on social media out of insecurity is absolutely outstanding. And the accusations they would make because no one's reaching out. I'm thinking, you understand the gospel. Jesus reached out. Why don't you pick the phone up and you reach out? It's just about setting the example, surely. Rather than, come on, you get it. It's a tall order, isn't it? Putting God first, honoring God, trying to put Him in as a first thought. I genuinely believe there's a win for us today. In what, looking at what first fruits mean in terms of honoring God. What we do first really matters, actually. You know that as well as I do. The things that's gone best in our lives is because we started well. And it was a lot easier to carry on like that. But it is more difficult when we don't start well to try and shoehorn in a different practice. To try and turn away and turn our actions into something that the start just really wasn't. But let's look at first fruits. I want to have a look at that. I love that. It confused me a little bit, if I'm honest, because in the Bible, the word first fruit is one word. I'm like, oh, I thought it's two, but it says first fruits. It doesn't say fruits. I would be perfectly fine if it said, give God your fruits, which means it's up to me to decide when I do that. But there's a clear responsibility to do it first. And I believe the Hebrews had a really healthy understanding of this. Slightly healthier, I would think, than what we do in the 21st century. They believe God created everything. Everything was His and came from Him. So out of a heart of thankfulness, they just gave first to Him. They gave first from their life, first from their livelihood. If you were a farmer, I've not put wheat on there. Oh, not that slide, please. That looks too bare. We don't want that. Can we please go back to that beautiful green orchard? I prefer looking at plush, green, fruitful orchard. But if I've gone for orchard rather than wheat field, but typically how it used to work, and I think this is really applicable to us. Before there's even anything good in the ground, the farmer and his workers would work the land and get it ready. He would make sure that there are irrigation parts done on the perimeter of the land, just in case there's too much water and they need to divert away and maybe save for another day, or when it's too dry and they need to actually get stuff in. They would then sow and do that well. They would water. They would get down and dirty in the soil, getting the weeds out and pests. But the big thing is this. Before harvest, they all want to do this to make the crop flourish. The big thing was this, they had to be consistent. Because when it's harvest day, they don't want to get into the back corner and realize, oh no, we kind of never weeded as much over there like we did everywhere else. Or get into the far left and realize, oh, that was always too far away. And when we ran out of time, we never quite watered the same over there. They can't afford that with their crop. They didn't want to be stuck because of their own inconsistent efforts when it comes to harvest day. Does that sound familiar? Inconsistent efforts. It does to me. Inconsistent over here. And then harvest day would come. And if this was 21st century farmer or mentality, they'd go, listen, guys, we have slaved for this stuff. Tonight, party at mine. And we will eat off the fat of the land. Because we deserve, we have worked our socks off. It is ours. Handy work. You deserve it, guys. Pats on the back. Great work, team. Excellent. Superb. But not these Hebrews. They would go out on harvest day and they would pick a sample and it's not for them. They would give the first sample back to God as a principle of first giving to God and actually then trusting that whatever is left in that field is good enough quality and volume to feed their family and the workers' families, and very often the whole village. I think there's something in here for us. How do we honor God? Sometimes we just need to attempt with our actions or engage or try to put him first in something. Consider him first in our workplace, family, exams, finances. Why is that important? Let me, I'll explain it very quickly, a spiritual principle that you can't get away from. The principle is this: God's already first. Can't change that. In Genesis, he tells me, literally, he was first in time. Nobody beat him to it. Well done, God, you're first. But when you read the whole Bible, you realize there's no power or dominion higher than him. Every knee will bow because his name is the most powerful in the universe because of the accolades that he achieved on the way and on the cross and out of it. So he's not just first in time, but he's also first in position. There is a beautiful thing in our lives which we struggle with for the whole time while we're on earth. And it's a tussle in bringing things in alignment with that truth. Bringing things in agreement with that truth. When I was at university, some of the most foundational work God did in my life, which I still come back to, second and third year at uni, that is what he taught me. Fritz, am I going to be the Lord of your life and you still choose what you look at? Or are you bringing this in alignment and starting to put me first a little bit? Consider how this might affect you now and in the future. And God did a wonderful job in setting me free of stuff that could have tied me in knots. And to be fair, he did for a bit. At that time, God was really putting a spotlight on me, saying, Fritz, am I really the Lord of your life and you're gunning for it? And everyone at uni thinks you're gunning for it, for me. And I'm the Lord of your life, but you can do what you want in your relationship? Or are you going to bring this into me and give your manipulative mindset a break, not trying to make your relationship with your girlfriend, my beautiful wife over there, look like what you want it to look like, but trust that she's the best I've got for you and you lean on my wisdom? I tell you, the finest thing I learned at uni was these two things. And you can ask me, quiz me on it as well. I had some pretty decent lectures, some pretty decent labs. They were pretty good. But the best thing I learned was how to prioritize God in my relationships and how to prioritize God in my finance. Two most important things that I learned at uni. I'll give you an insight quickly, and then we'll wrap up. If you don't like it, please come and tell me off afterwards. I'll pray with you. We'll have a coffee and a donut together. It's amazing what sugar does, isn't it? When I was at uni, I was confused growing up about money, by the way. My mum always gave us a 20p, gave us a coin. And we'd always put it in. And then if there was no coins, we just didn't. It made me feel like I was tipping God. We're ain't good. And that wasn't confusing. What was confusing, because I was involved in the house budget from age 14 because my mum didn't like numbers. So I knew exactly what were coming in and what were going out. And at 16, I'm sat on a Monday night in a conference next to my mum, and I know until Friday, we've got a purple 20 left for week. And my mum sticks the whole thing in the offering. I'm going absolutely nuts. I'm going, where's the integrity? I thought we tipped God. You're giving him a lot. Now I'm confused. I was so, and I carried this confusion into my uni regarding money. And boy, that picture there, the second one, that was what God was asking me about my money. Because someone paid for my studies. Someone paid for my water, gas, electricity, and my rent. I didn't get any government loans or grants, so I had to get a job. So I got a job. Praise God, I had a job for 3 years. Second and third year, I earned £210 a month. And that's what I had to live off. I went and did something. Don't judge me, I'm reporting back. I signed a £20 a month contract for a BlackBerry Curve. Who on earth signs a contract of a phone for basically about 10% of your wage? That's not wisdom. I'd inherited a car that the church had bought for my mum so she could be more mobile. When my mum passed away, I inherited that because my sister was even worse off than me in Loughborough. So I'm driving this car around, picking people up for lifts. I'd budgeted because I'm budget boss. I've been since 14. I'm budget boss. £10 a week. I can't put 40 in at the start of the month because the tank's empty before the end. But for some reason, if I put 10 in a week, it works. Budget boss. I've got 150 quid left. I'm dating my now wife, and I like to make sure we go out for a meal or a drink or something like that, try and be generous with my friends and live off 150 quid. And then whatever's left, I'll give something to God. Of course I will. I love him. I absolutely love him. That is what my life was like. I'd plunder the trees. And at the end of the month, I'd take a second walk through. Oh, hardly ever worked out, if I'm honest. Didn't have that much left to give God. In fact, I'll be underneath the trees, seeing if there's oak that's fallen off I didn't spot first time round when I went and plundered him. And then I had this revelation of first fruits. Really, this is quite simple. I'm budget boss. And I pasted a cell right at the top. I got paid on the 26th of every month. And I decided on the 27th, I'm going to put 20 quid to the church I went to. I thought, do you know what? You can undo a really foolish 20 quid BlackBerry Curve. There's not enough money in 150 to get out anyway a month. Stick another 20 in, pal. At least you're doing something good with it. So I stuck a 20 in. At this, the first thing that left my bank account was a 20 to my church. And for some reason, I have no idea how God does it, but 130 was enough. It was the finest maths lesson I've ever learned, and we've had to go into our married life applying this as well. Because God, we want God to be a priority. Now listen, our family's growing. Maternity leave is not full pay. No, I'm saying. Family's growing. We want to stay where we are. We'd love an extension. And because I'm budget boss, I know what we're spending. I know what goes out, what comes in. And I'd prefer, really. I mean, come on, there is a thought that thinks, why don't you sack this off until the kids are at school, everything's cheaper? Get your extension built by the time they're gone into school, all sorted. But God's a priority. Now listen, there's a verse that describes this perfectly well, Romans 11:16. It says, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. If the root is holy, so are its branches. all we're doing, there's this truth here that God is apparently first. I can't change that. He is. He's first in time and he's first in position. But will I take these things over here and say, I'll start with actually, because I know my budget, I'm gonna see what we can pinch off and give to you first, God. Because I understand if how first fruits work. If the first bit is holy, so's the rest. If the root at the start of something is holy, then so's the rest. And so we do that. There's nothing revolutionary about that. By the way, my payday's changed to 22nd now, Jane. So 23rd it should come in. I changed it this week because I thought, don't preach to these guys and you've not changed it. But first fruits, literally just in time, and then obviously work on, continue to engage with God and work on what that looks like in terms of amounts. That is not a sermon I'm preaching. I'm preaching about prioritizing God and putting him in his rightful place. Listen, it's not. Sometimes in church you get tumbleweed moments, don't you? This morning. Talk about money. The invitation is open. If I've scratched you in the wrong place today, please come and see me. Let's talk about it. There's nothing too difficult for me to talk about. Because it's about prioritizing God. Listen, let me just tease you with this one last thing. I probably should have started like this, but this is a bit naughty of me. When you study first fruits in the Bible, it's something that the people of God used to give God. By the way, they never gave to God to get a blessing. They gave, like Joe said this morning, in thankfulness because God's kind of given him everything already. Right? Do you know Jesus is mentioned in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, I think it is. Christ triumphed in resurrection and became the first fruits of resurrection life. So come on, how long will it take for the penny to drop this morning? If the first bit is holy, then the rest of the crop is holy. Christ was raised from the dead, which means, and as his first fruits, we get raised with him, church. That takes the shackles of fear of my future off when I consider what I'm going to do in prioritizing God. That place of absolute triumph and utter safety and security, that's the place that's easier to operate when we try and prioritize God, when we know he's got me sorted. It's a lot harder when you sort of got this headache in the back of your head going, but what if, what if, what if, what if? How does that work, and that work? Christ is the first fruit, which means the rest of the crop, because Christ is, we are. And it's not just with resurrection, guys. Because he's blessed, we are. Because he's alive, we are. Because he was victorious, we are. We can't get away from a first fruit principle. If you found a way, please come and talk to me. I love learning. Even when it doesn't work. At least I know how not to do it. I want to encourage you today. Get yourself a free donut. Get yourself a filter coffee. We're doing things like this in church to help people connect and have good soil, working the land for people to disciple each other. Engage in conversation. I've asked Wolfie to put a few images on the screen, a few questions. The question is this. How am I putting God first? You can ask each other this, see what pops out, because this is true discipleship. We've all got things that we'd love to change for God, to put Him first. It'd be great to talk about those things, because then you've got another ally in prayer. Then you've got another gracious listening ear. I think we should stand and just commit our time to God. Some of the stuff I've shared today, I've never shared before, because I've always thought, it can't be that important. It's just my story. I pray that today people would share stories with each other and would find freedom with God. Would make some of the things that sound intimidating actually look really small and insignificant and great conversation fodder. Oh, Father God, so yeah, I just want to finish by saying you're welcome here. We thank you for your word that it's alive. And Father God, I just thank you that you're interested in us. I pray that you give us a real sharpness and effectiveness in the next season. And we pray for the rest of the essentials, God. May we engage with the essentials so we don't get tripped up later. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found this helpful, insightful, encouraging. If you want to keep up to date with what's going on at Lifehouse Church, you could also follow us on our social media page, which you'll be able to find on our website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk.